When you first look at people's campaigns, you get excited, you think, oh, wow, you know, all you have to do is put your campaign up there and you can raise a lot of money. But really, it's not only is it not free, but it also takes a lot of work. It takes months to build your campaign, months to plan it before even the launch date. And then after the launch date, it takes work every single day to continue to get activity on it. You have to think of new perks. You have to think of new updates, pictures, basically trying to engage people on the page every single day. And the page actually has analytics, and you can see the days that you don't do anything, there is a big dip in activity. And then the days that you do, it definitely there is a spike.
This is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. What would happen if you... Oh, by the way, I'm John McGowan, and if you have something interesting you'd like to let me know about, John@indoorcycleinstructor.com. What would happen if you had an existing small studio space and decided, you know, I'd like to grow, except for there's one problem. I don't have a lot of extra money. And, you know, raising capital for a startup or an expansion of a business is typical. But there are now more non-traditional methods of doing it, one of which is to use like Kickstarter or Indiegogo and do a crowdfunding campaign. And Nairi Pedrosian, who runs Revolution Cycling Studio in Los Angeles, is joining me to tell us how she successfully raised $30,011. Nairi, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
What a cool thing. You know, where this started is we're on our studio owners Facebook group, and I saw somebody else was trying to do this, and you said, oh my gosh, we just completed, and it was fabulous. And I so appreciate you willing to come on the show and help us understand how you accomplished this.
Of course, we're definitely excited to share what we've done and how other people can also use the same method for fundraising.
Okay. Well, awesome. All right. So help everybody understand where you were. You're a group fitness instructor, indoor cycling instructor. What's your fitness background?
I am a spin certified Mad Dog spinning instructor. So I teach indoor cycling classes. We also have yoga classes at the studio, but we're definitely mainly indoor cycling.
You started a studio, I'm guessing small one, here a while back. What got that all going?
The studio opened a little over 2 years ago, and we only have 13 bikes. We're kind of in an odd location, although we're in the middle of Eagle Rock and Los Angeles. We're in an office building on the second floor. When you come inside, it's beautiful, but from the outside, you can't really see it. There's not too much visibility. But it's also helped us kind of build our brand, let us get too big too fast, which I think could be a problem also. So what we've done is really grown to almost need more bikes and more space. And we pretty much grew out of our current space. We have waiting lists on almost all of our classes. People are begging for more classes. And it kind of came at a point where we weren't ready to grow. And
do you mean by you weren't ready? What caused you to feel that way?
Really, we didn't have the funds to grow. Although the business was is successful. The problem was 13 bikes wasn't enough to make so much of a profit where you can grow and buy more bikes and get a new space. And traditionally, if a small business lacks funds and they can't raise capital in a traditional way, they're pretty much stuck. But the concept of crowdfunding, like the Indiegogo or Kickstarter, has really changed the business world. And it's kind of given an opportunity for small businesses to raise funds from the community and actually be able to grow without having to go to like a bank or a traditional method like that.
There are two ways, you know, I'm looking at this. There's someone who's just going to do a startup. I want to start a new studio. Mm-hmm. I see that as being more difficult than your situation in that it sounds to me you obviously had a community in place.
Right. I think actually that's what made us be successful. We weren't really asking for charity. We weren't saying, hey, you know, just donate money. We're really basically trying to ask people to reach into their pockets a little bit more than they ordinarily would have to purchase classes that they know they already love. What they're really doing is basically pre-buying classes.
Which is brilliant.
Right.
There's no better business plan in the world where people pay you in advance before you create your or build your product.
Exactly.
Fabulous.
Right. We just sold bigger packages than we normally do. For example, 1 year, 2 years, 6 months. And essentially what we're doing is asking our clients to trust us that we would put together a premium product for the next year or so, and that their long-term investment in the classes is going to be worth it and they're going to want to stay. And you couldn't really do that if you don't have something that people already want.
Okay. A legality question. You're selling these long-term contracts. Do you, in California, do you have to have a bond to cover the value of those in case you, for example, went out of business and couldn't deliver these classes? Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay. Okay.
We did talk to somebody about it, and really what we would probably do is pay people back for classes not used, depending on what they purchased. But we've been in business for 2 years, and we've really grown from really nothing to what we're doing right now. And we're very positive that we'll minimum be in business for another two.
Oh, right. Well, but where that comes from is there a studio owner I know over in Baltimore, mm-hmm. Spook Hill Garden, whose studio is closed. But I remember he was approached by some regulatory agency and said, if you're selling packages based on future events, that you need a bond to cover that, to make that person whole if you can't deliver it. And it was literally a law in Maryland that had to be. And where that comes from is throughout the recent history, there's been a lot of shady fitness facilities.
Right.
Pop up, sign up of 1,000 people, and then surprise, surprise, they don't open the place.
Interesting.
Right. And so for yourself, mm-hmm. I would look into that to make sure that you're not running afoul. And I would also, if you're listening to this, I would also look into that, because it came as quite an expense to Spook that he wasn't prepared for when he was told he had to have those bonds in place. It's an insurance policy, literally. So anyways, forgive me for
no problem
for digressing. That's here, okay. But it is, you know, it's my intent always to try to educate and just like music licensing and stuff, you need to get in front of it before you can't just ignore it, because it sometimes is more expensive if you do so. Okay, so you're 2 years in. You're thinking, wow, we got full classes. We need to grow. Where did the idea of doing a Indiegogo campaign come from?
I've always kind of followed Kickstarter just to see what people have done. The only difference is that Kickstarter and even Indiegogo really are more about inventions. For example, you know, I have this really cool new mouse pad that does things that no other mouse pad does. And people say, oh, this is great. So I'll pay money for it and buy it once it's actually made. It's a little bit different for services, because you can't reach out to as big of a community as somebody who's making a mouse pad. I don't know why I came up with that example.
Oh, no, that's a great example. And you're making an incredibly good point, is that you don't have something you can ship someone in Japan.
Exactly. So your clients, or even people who you're reaching out to, are definitely a lot smaller. And one of the things that we did to maybe try to get around that was have one of our perks be a t-shirt. And instead of buying classes, if you want to support but you're far away, you can get a Rev t-shirt. And some people got it, but it definitely wasn't as successful as it would have been if it was like a new invention of a t-shirt.
Did you sell a lot of t-shirts?
We sold a handful of them. And again, it was people that we knew that were too far away to buy classes and they wanted to support. I don't think we reached anybody that was brand new that thought our campaign was interesting and wanted to support. I think it was just people we knew.
And as I'm scrolling through here, I see that the majority of your sales were big dollar, $100 pre-purchase, $120 pre-purchase, $139 pre-purchase. You just closed this on the 29th. Did you guys have a party?
Not yet, but we will. We're hoping to have a grand opening party at the end of September. And one of the perks was, part of the perk was that you get invited to the grand opening party, but as someone who helped us raise the funds.
Nairi, when you made a decision between, say, Kickstarter or Indiegogo, how did you base that decision?
Well, Indiegogo lets you put a goal, and what they'll do is they'll let you keep the money even if you don't reach your goal. Although they do get a higher cut if you don't reach your goal.
And do you know what the percentage is?
Yes, it's 4% if you reach the goal and 9% if you don't reach your goal.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it can cost you 5% if you don't get there.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And were you afraid that you wouldn't make your goal? So you didn't, because I've played around with Indiegogo. I realize you can choose. Am I going to have a guaranteed goal or a whatever I get goal? Were you fearful that you wouldn't raise your $30,000? Or I'm just trying to get an understanding from you how you made that decision.
To be honest with you, when we first started it, we were not expecting to reach our goal. We didn't really realize how supportive our community was going to be and how helpful they were going to be. And we really didn't think we would reach our goal. And as the days went, the weeks went, we got closer and closer. We thought, wow, this could actually be a possibility.
It must have been very exciting.
It really was. And, you know, you really see how much of a difference what you do having such an amazing product does to the community. And it makes you feel really good about it.
Did you see a decrease in sales to existing? You're selling packages every day, obviously. Did that trail off as people were instead investing in your campaign?
It didn't in August because we stated in our Indiegogo that you can't use the classes that you purchased through Indiegogo until September 1st. But we definitely know that we will see a little bit of a decrease in September from our current clients because they already purchased their classes through Indiegogo.
Okay, so you've got existing customers who are buying, paying, showing up in August. But that didn't. But the fact that they were also pre-buying for September or October, that didn't affect your sales.
Not in August.
Okay, got it. Well, obviously, yeah, mm-hmm. People are going to be redeeming, so you're going to have quite a dip going forward.
Right.
How did you decide $30,000?
We wanted an amount that was a little modest, but at the same time, realistic of our expenses. We don't want to tell people that we're moving and we're getting new bikes for $15,000 because that's not what's happening. we're trying to be transparent about the move. And I think that's kind of what helps people back you, being transparent and having them know the struggles that you're going through and the triumphs. And they really get behind it and they get excited.
Obviously. And they opened their wallets for you, which I think is just, well, really says a lot about you and your team. How many instructors do you have?
We currently have 8 instructors total, but that includes me.
Got it. And how many classes a week are you offering?
We have 24 classes a week.
When you developed your original business plan for your small studio, did you have a future growth in mind?
Yes, we absolutely did. Anyone that owns a recycling studio knows that with 13 bikes, there's not too much you can do with it. You really need a minimum of 20 to 25 bikes to really have a booming business. And but our plan was 4 or 5 years in, not 2 years. So like I said, this kind of came at a surprise. And we thought of the crowdfunding and we said, it doesn't hurt. Let's try it, see how it goes, and take it from there. And we even told our clients that, you know, we don't have a specific plan for September yet. It just depends on how Indiegogo goes. And they were 100% behind it and willing to do everything they can do to help because they were excited about the move and the growth and helping us, really.
I know. I'm just smiling here thinking what a wonderful thing that is. Okay, but I have to ask the opposite question. Did you have a plan B if this whole thing just didn't work?
Yes, a few plan Bs. Depending on whether it completely failed and we raised no money, then we would try to stay at the current space. Our lease was over, like we said in the video, so we weren't sure if we could or not. But our first plan would be to try to stay at the current space with the same amount of bikes that we have. If we raise some money, not all of it, we would try to move, but not get more bikes, at least not yet. Maybe in 6 months, 8 months, when we have the funds that we need, then we would be able to get them.
Did your customers, your participants, did they have some fear that maybe you were going to go away if this didn't work?
They did, but we were very good with our communication. We let them know every step of the way by doing the Indiegogo updates. We sent out mass emails to all of our clients because not everybody was buying the perks, so they wouldn't be able to get the updates. So we sent out the emails. We had Facebook updates, I would say 2, 3, 4 times a week as to what's going on. You really have to keep the communication open. And even making announcements in class, you have to let them know that they can ask questions. They can let their concerns be heard and be open about answering them.
Okay. Did you have any detractors to what you were doing? People that were possibly critical of it or negative? It doesn't sound like you would, but I'm just curious if you had anybody.
To be honest, we didn't.
Okay.
Everybody was very excited about it. Also, we were offering really good deals for what they were getting. Our perks were deals that we, first of all, never have offered before and things that we'll never offer again. So they really took advantage of that too and got a savings as long as they purchased the classes.
The finances that you raised are to build out the new space, and you were purchasing another 10 bikes?
Right.
And then by your estimates, as long as you can keep your participation rates similar, you're going to be profitable into next year potentially?
We definitely hope so. The new space will hopefully give us more visibility, which will get more clients in, and also keeping the current clients by not having wait lists and having them not be able to get into classes, which is always not a good thing. So we want them to come in and enjoy their classes.
Every one of these campaigns requires a video. How did you go about the construction of yours?
Our video was made by a video producer. We thought our video was important, so we decided to make an investment into professional video. And I really do think it is important because it's the first thing people see. And to be honest with you, I think it's the last thing they see because most people don't go down and read everything on that page. So everything you need to say needs to be said on the video and no more than 3 minutes, which is extremely difficult.
Okay. I bet you have a lot to say. Can I ask, what did it cost for video production cost?
Our video production was made by a guy that we actually knew. So he didn't charge us as much as a professional would have charged normally. He charged us about $1,200. But just to let everyone know that when we did go get quotes, they did quote us between $2,000 to $5,000 for the same type of video.
Yikes.
Right.
Yikes, when you can make such a good one with your iPhone. What did you get from him as a professional? What could you, can you identify a certain, because $1,200 is, for a lot of people, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And so what was it that you got from him that you didn't feel you were going to get if you just tried to do this on your own?
Well, first of all, he had great video equipment. So the quality of the video ended up being much more than what we could have offered. But the best part about it was that he was able to see a storyline. I told him our idea that we want to explain what our story is, what we're doing with the money, and where we want to go. And we want some testimonials in there because we really thought our client's point of view is important. And he took that and made it into a real story. He came, videotaped the class, edited that in. That way the viewer, maybe who hasn't been into our studio, can see what a real class is like. You only get a few seconds here and there, but it still gives you what an experience at the studio would be like. He also was able to get really good sound out of it. But mainly it was having him there to guide us through what we should say, what would make a good impact, and editing it, because we had about 45 minutes of video that he edited down to a little over 3 minutes.
So I'm hearing that he crafted the story for you and knew the right way to do it.
Yes, he definitely helped us make sense of what we wanted to say.
Rather than just put a bunch of random clips together, here, give us some money. He helped you develop a short storyline within that 3 minutes, 3 minutes and 20 seconds, actually, as I'm seeing it here. And so it was his expertise and the storytelling aspect that you feel that was really what made it worth the money. Because you can hire somebody just to come and stand there with a camera.
Exactly. I don't think they'll have the same effect.
No. And as you're saying that, I recognize just from my own meager attempts to try to put together a video, I know exactly what the struggle is. It's not something you do every day. But again, that $1,200 to you, I bet, was a lot of money.
It really was. And it took a while for us to be okay with spending it. But I think it was worth it. Another thing he did was, when you first see the video, before he added in all the effects, it was 3 minutes of just people talking. And even I couldn't get through it. So I'm sure other people that were watching it would not be able to get through 3 minutes of that. Once he added in the effects, the videos of the class, the pictures, then the 3 minutes became entertaining and you're able to actually sit through it and watch the whole thing.
Perfect. I think that's a crucial part. He made it entertaining.
Right.
And along with telling the story, which I guess you could say sold people on your campaign. Did you learn anything along the way that you think is important for somebody else considering this to know?
We learned a tremendous amount.
I guess that was a dumb question. Yes, I'm sure you learned a ton. But is there anything that really stands out that maybe wasn't obvious right away, or you had wished someone had told you before you got started?
When you first look at people's campaigns, you get excited and you think, oh, wow, you know, all you have to do is put your campaign up there and you can raise a lot of money. But really, it's not only is it not free, but it also takes a lot of work. It takes months to build your campaign, months to plan it before even the launch date. And then after the launch date, it takes work every single day to continue to get activity on it. You have to think of new perks. You have to think of new updates, pictures, basically trying to engage people on the page every single day. And the page actually has analytics, and you can see the days that you don't do anything, there is a big dip in activity. And then days that you do, there is a spike. So it's continuous work for the 40 days that we launched it, and probably a month or two before we launched it to plan it. So if you're going to do a one-month campaign, that's 3 months of work.
Wow. So you earned this $30,000.
Yes. It did not come easy.
Yeah, you're right, because that's the perception. Oh, I'm just going to throw this up here and people are going to start sending me money.
Yeah.
But interesting. Were there people that waited till the end?
Oh, yes. People love waiting until the end. And that's one thing that we try to sway from and try to motivate people to buy early by doing early bird specials. The perks sometimes we would add in the middle, we would only limit them to 15, 20, 25. And that way people knew that if they waited, they would lose out. Or we would say this is a 3-day special, so you only have 3 days to buy this. So that definitely helps with people who would try to wait in the end, but they still did. There was a big group of people who waited probably the last couple hours.
Oh, like they're on eBay or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Huh? Like something's going to change.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting, you raised $30,011. Were people just waiting, do you think, to saying, well, if they don't get there, I'll do it?
I think they were. That's another reason why you have to be careful with your goal, because you don't want to set it too low. Then people won't purchase because they'll say, well, they already met their goal. But you also don't want to put it too high. Then if you don't meet your goal, you're paying an extra 5%. So you have to mm-hmm. find the right balance between the two.
Right. And there's a negative perception if you only got $1,200, say, of your $30,000.
Exactly.
You know, people, yeah, but I can imagine your people getting close and you're at whatever, $28,000. Oh, okay, I'm going to do it. I need to help them reach their goal. And wow. Okay. So were there sleepless nights? Was there anxiety around this for you and your team?
There definitely was. I would say the main part was, what else can we do to help bring traction to the site? What else can we put on there that will be exciting for them, but at the same time, we won't lose too much money? With the perks, you also want to be careful because you will be losing sales in your regular MindBody account or whatever it is that you use. So you mm-hmm. have to be careful of not offering them too great of perks because you don't want to lose money in the long run. So that's one thing we were trying to balance. And that was definitely stressful because you don't know what September is going to bring. You don't know what October is going to bring. We can be hopeful that we'll get new clients, but at the same time, you can never guarantee it.
Right. Yeah. Because as you're saying this, it's because you were in some way, forgive the term, cannibalizing, you know, your future revenue to bring it together here. So you have your 30,000, but you're going to have over time. Is it really? Other than you get the money all at once, are you really ahead? Say 6 months from now, if you had just taken out a bank loan and gone and if that was possible, am I making sense?
Yes, definitely. And that's another concern we had: is this the right way about raising money? And we weren't only looking at this as a way of raising money, but also getting the community and our group of clients behind us on the move. They really felt a part of the move instead of us coming to them and saying, hey guys, we're moving, let's go. It was, you're part of this move. What do you want? You made this happen. And that really helps out in having them be excited about change, which is difficult for a lot of people. So that definitely played into our decision making. Also the getting the funds early on. You never can guarantee somebody will be there for 6 months, for a year, even for 2 years. Most people, they change jobs, they get tired of working out, they find something new. But with this, you're basically guaranteeing that that bike will be full for 6 months. And mm-hmm. We not only want people to basically give us their money, but we want them there working out. Because at the end of the day, we are offering the services, and the services are there. We would rather have someone be there feeling the bike, bringing in the energy, p- posting it on Facebook, saying what a good time they're having, bringing in more people because they love it, rather than losing them 1 month, 2 months in.
Gotcha. So it brought you confidence and energized your community.
Yes, it definitely did. I don't think the move would have been as easy as it has been if it wasn't for people feeling like they're a part of it.
They're helping. And so it was it was comforting to you, but, you know, you're taking another financial step, you know, that you're adding additional potential risk. You're signing a new lease. I'm going to guess it's more expensive.
Exactly.
Than the current place. So this is fascinating, and it's actually, we're getting a little long, but I have all these other questions. How did you sort through all these things early on when you were doing this planning?
I'm sorry, sort through which part?
there's all these different moving parts to this, mm-hmm. You know, and you sound like you're very intelligent. And so you were considering all these future things, you're getting money today, but that means you're not going to get the money in October. And so that's a problem. And do I really want to move? And am I better off getting a bank loan? And how do I do my campaign? I'm just curious. Was there a group of you meeting every day talking about this, or was it just you?
I do have a business partner, Christy Baldwin. She's also on the studio owners page, and okay. We have our attorney that we turn to a lot for more than just legal advice, but he's very helpful. Basically, the three of us were the ones that would plan, kind of come back, think about all the stuff that we could have done better, try to pivot that a little bit, go back into action. It's definitely been a moving base. In the beginning of the Indiegogo project, we didn't have, as I would say, crazy deals. And I probably 2-3 weeks into it, we decided that we think it's a good idea to discount the classes a little bit more on the bigger packages. And I think that's actually what helped us meet our goal, because people were willing to purchase large packages that they normally would never have because it was a really good deal. And that's something, again, that we didn't decide until a couple weeks in. And if I had known that this was a better move, I would have done it earlier on. Maybe we could have surpassed our goal, but you live and you learn. And that's one of the things that I would suggest to people that are doing this in the future.
Awesome. Well, now you should start a consulting company to help others.
Yes, definitely. Anyone can contact me at any time.
Oh, you got to be careful when you say that.
I would just give advice and let them know what I experienced.
Right. Well, I've had people in the past say, John, I'll agree to do this podcast, but I don't want people trying to contact me because, if 100 people call you and demand an hour from you.
That's a lot of hours.
Yeah, you don't have it to give. So this becomes a little more effective. And I got to imagine that the thought process involved with going through all of this was beneficial to you as a business owner.
It definitely was, because one of the things was this is something we've never done before. And there wasn't too many examples to look at either. We did search through and look at different studios who have done this, but it was never like what we did. So it was kind of pedaling through and figuring out as we go. We could only use what we knew, and I think that, you know, we came out much more successful than we really thought we would have, and it's been a huge learning experience, and maybe we can do it again sometime in the future for some other growth, but definitely not anytime soon.
No, but the point I was making is that I'm sure it helped you grow as a business owner to go through this. There's things that you learn that you're going to apply. You're not doing another fundraiser campaign.
Right.
But there's just ways you're looking at your business from a planning perspective, anticipation of future events, rather than just with the rose-colored glasses, everything's going to be wonderful. I got to believe that it was helpful to you just maturing as a business owner.
Oh, it definitely was. I mean, anytime you go through something brand new and just kind of do it as you learn as you go. I think you grow, and you can definitely use what you learn from doing a campaign like this in the future, even if it's not exactly a crowdfunding campaign.
I want to thank you for being on the show, Nairi. Thank you.
Of course.
And I'm going to guess there's a lot of appreciative studio owners, either startups or existing, that may look to follow your lead on all this.
Like you said, John, we're going to cause a big influx of people into Indiegogo now.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I think you've warned people well enough that this isn't something they're going to do this weekend.
Right. No, definitely not.
Okay. Nairi Petrosyan at Revolutions Cycling Studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.